So even in these jittery days of declining indices on Wall Street, a walk to work in the financial district is not simply a casual stroll to a secure building and a corner office and a shimmering high-rise far above the street. There are some official greeters this week. Listen. That's the sound of the Occupy Wall Street demonstrators at their base camp in Lower Manhattan. And Occupy Wall Street as a movement to confront the financial sector doesn't stop on Wall Street.
This is Bosniak, reminding people not to forget Occupy Charlotte, home of Bank of America / Merrill Lynch. Let's support the cause of the common man and Occupy Charlotte.
That's a listener who called in at 877-8-MY-TAKE to share his own outrage over the sense that while Americans are broadly suffering during this recession and economic downturn, the banks are not.
Mark from Edmond, Oklahoma. I think it's time for the big banks to die. They've done everything they can to guard executive salaries at the expense of the populace, and that no longer works.
Strong sentiments, but loose talk. The New York protests have been sizable. There have been other demonstrations around the country as well. And while the depth of the involvement of Americans in all these actions is hard to gauge, the depth of the sentiment is undeniable, even with just a few data points. And we have had many, many voices calling into our lines. Today we're joined by Catherine Wild, President and CEO of the Partnership for New York City. She's currently Deputy Chair of the New York Federal Reserve's Board of Directors. Catherine Wild, good morning.
Good morning, John.
Now, I want to stress, you don't speak for the Federal Reserve. I want to say that right at the outset. But when you listen to these sentiments and hear some of the protesters on Wall Street and just sort of listen to the kind of criticism that bankers are getting, do you see this as a passing public relations problem or something deeper that the financial sector is going to have to really confront?
Well, I think it's clear that America is at a crossroads in many respects, and I think that's part of what the protests reflect. I think if they talk to the people working inside the banks and on Wall Street in the office buildings, they would find they have far more in common with them than what divides them. That, in fact, we all feel a sense of frustration with our country's inability to get beyond some of the economic and fiscal problems that are facing us. There's a deep distrust of our leadership, whether it's in government or in corporations. And Americans are not sure what's coming next. Last week, Governor Cuomo had former President Bill Clinton to speak in Albany to a group of economic development professionals. And President Clinton said that great societies in the past have failed when the leadership got too invested in the status quo and they lost their commitment to the future. And I think that's how we all kind of feel right now.
Except a lot of people also feel that the leadership is this partnership between bankers and Washington, D.C. I mean, executives at Goldman Sachs go over to the Treasury Department and then back to the investment banking firms. And there's a sense and a tension that Washington seems to have the idea that if we don't do what the bankers say when the markets start to fall, that it'll be the end of the world. And then they do, and consumers are suffering. Can you help explain that to people?
Well, I think anybody who reads the business section of the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal will see that bankers and big government are not getting along so well these days. So that, I think, is a basic misunderstanding of how great those tensions are. In fact, we're facing huge change in the world, and nobody really knows how to handle it. So you have a sense of frustration, a sense that there's no clear path to how we're going to solve our big fiscal problems, our deficit, our housing mortgage crisis. And I think after 3 or 4 years of feeling like we're not getting people back to work, we're not seeing a clear path for America's future as an economic world leader, that everybody is frustrated and kind of taking it out on each other.
We're speaking with Catherine Wild, President and CEO of the Partnership for New York City and Deputy Chair of the New York Federal Reserve's Board of Directors. So, Catherine, explain, I mean, how do you then address the concerns over income inequality, which is at an all-time high in the United States since the Great Depression? And in fact, the IMF points to income inequality as one of the big reasons why economic growth is not happening, not just in the U.S. or in other countries. So it seems like that's something that we should be addressing. How do we address it?
I think that's clear, and I think most people who are thoughtful agree that we have to do something in this country about income inequality. Again, the problem is we're starting in a big hole where we're overcommitted in terms of our Social Security programs, many of our public pension programs, all the things that sort of address all the ways that we have, the tools we have to address income inequality are stressed because we haven't planned ahead very well. So there are a number of recommendations. There's one that was led by a bipartisan commission by Alan Simpson and Erskine Bowles who came out and have said we've got to raise taxes reduce the special privileges, take out corporate loopholes that some have enjoyed. At the same time, we've got to figure out how to be more realistic about the money we're spending. There are plans, ideas out there. We just have been divided as a country, largely along partisan political lines.
But shouldn't the bankers be unilateral here? I mean, isn't this a moment after taking, you know, billions of dollars from the TARP to maintain profitability and, in some cases, existence? Isn't this a moment for the bankers to actually lend in a time when there's high risk, as opposed to during the mortgage bubble when it was very, very low risk and the money just grew on trees? Help people out a little bit?
Absolutely. And the bankers had been back lending again, but they now are facing this crisis in Europe, which affects capital, their capital requirements. And so there's a real concern. Today it was said there's going to be a 40% chance of another recession in Europe. That will spill over here. So we're facing big issues. The key is for this country to come together, not to split apart. And I think that's the real message. We have to look to a future that everybody wants to see America do well. And we ought to be figuring out how to pull together. We can't do that without the banks.
Does that mean we might see you sharing a latte with one of those protesters on Wall Street before we go?
Well, I spent the 60s protesting myself, so I can't complain about them.
Catherine Wild, President and CEO of the Partnership for New York City, currently Deputy Chair of the New York Federal Reserve's Board of Directors. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.